Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Sanhedrin Daf Samach Beis. We are holding at the fifth line off the top of the Amud Tani, Rabbi Zakkai. Rabbi Zakkai presented a Braisa Kamei before the Rabbi Yochanan. Okay, so he presented a Braisa as follows: Zibeach v'kiter v'nisech v'shtachva behelam echad. Suppose an individual goes ahead with all these acts of idol worship. He does zibeach, he does a shchita v'kiter, he burns the offering. V'nisech, he pours, whether it's wine, water, blood, and he bows. He does four things which constitute an act of idol worship. But he did it behelam echad, within the same lapse of forgetfulness. So he didn't realize that they're forbidden acts until he finished the whole series. So in a case where he does only one, and then suddenly recalls that it's an isser, then proceeds to forget about the second one, does it, and recalls that it's an isser, and likewise, so on and so forth. There are four separate violations, which trigger four separate liabilities in terms of a karban chatas. But here it's all within one forgetfulness. He didn't realize this is a problem. He forgot, right? And then he reminds himself on all four at once. In this case, despite the fact that they're separate violations, but since they're rooted in the same isur, in the same lav, in the same azhara, which is veloy sa'avdeim, it's not a separate, isur, not a separate lav per act, and therefore they're all sort of bundled and packaged together, and there's only one chatos per all these activities. Amar lei, Rabbi Yochanan was not happy with this. Chiddush, he says, Poik, Tani Lebra, go teach it outside the Beis HaMedrash, it's a mistake. Of course, he has to bring a separate chatos, one per act. Okay, now what's this, what's this based on? So, firstly, says Rabbi Abba, I want to explain to you why Rabbi Zakkai was sort of bundling it together. Amar Rabbi Abba, Hodor Amar Rabbi Zakkai, this idea presented by Rabbi Zakkai, that there's only one Chiyuv Chatas for the entire series of acts, Machlokes, it's really Machlokes, between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Nosson. As we find regarding the Melachos on Shabbos, where there as well, there are 39 forbidden acts on Shabbos, 39 Melachos, all based on the same Pasuk, the same Lav, of Le'isasaka Melacha. So the same question arises. If one should do many Melachos, B'shoigig, is it one chatos based on the one lav, or is it many chatos based on the separate activities? The Sani will have a brice. So although most or almost all of the malachis are based on the same pasuk of loy sasuka malacha, there's one exception, which is havara, lighting a fire on Shabbos, which is stated separately. Loy sevaru esh v'chol meshvei seichem b'yam haShabbos. And the question is why single out havara? The Sani havara lav yatsa is meant to put Havara on a separate level, on a separate Madrega, to give it its separate status, right? That it's not going to be dealt with as severely as the other Malachis. There's no Misa, there's no... At most, there's a Lav. Tivir Rabbi Yesi, Tukun Rabbi Yesi, Havara is a downgrade. Rabbi Nosson, Oymer Lechalak Yotza, no. Havara has the same value as the other malachis. The reason for that separation is to indicate that every malacha is dealt with separately. And if you should do many malachis, so bring a separate carbon per malacha. Just like Havara was stated separately, it's sort of an indicator regarding the value of all the malachis. They all have separate identities, separate values, separate carbonis. So just like we find this machlek is regarding Shabbos, right? If one should proceed and do many malachas, how many chatois are involved according to Rabbi Nelson, one chatos per malacha. According to Rabbi Yossi, it's not so. So likewise, over here by Avodah Zarah, right? So Lamanda Amar Havara Lolav Yotza, according to the Shita that the pasuk singles out Havara simply to in order to downgrade its status and give it a lav, but not coming to indicate that each malacha has a separate, you know, carbon. So Ishtachavo Nami Lav Yotza. Likewise, although the pasuk by Avodah Zarah singles out Ishtachavo, special pasuk don't bow to Avodah Zarah, it's just meant to give it a lav. That's the whole purpose of it. It's meant to say that there's no misas bezin, right? A person bows b'shogeg, there's a chatas b'mezid, there's a kares, but there's no. It's not like the other malachas where there is misa. Over here, there's only a lav. Okay, so that's all it is. It's not coming to separate the malach, the avoiders from each other, and to require a special chatos per malach. But the manam avar l'chalak yotza, whereas according to the other shita, which is Rabbi Nosson, that by malachas of Shabbos, the purpose of separating havara was to indicate that each malach in general is meant to be dealt with separately, and each malach triggers its own chatos here as well by Avodah Zarah. Hishtachavo nami, the reason for singling out hishtachavo in a separate pasuk, l'chalak yotza, hishtachavo nami l'chalak yotza, was to teach that each malacha had its own separate consequence. Okay, so in reality, this halacha of Rabbi Zakkai presented in that braisa, and that the whole series of Avodah Zarah acts only trigger one chatos, is really a machlekes. Mask of Rabbi Yosef. Asks Rabbi Yosef, so you're telling me that according to Rabbi Yosef, that just like by Shabbos, Havara was just a Lav Yotzesa, same thing by Avodah Zarah, Hashtachavar Lav Yotzesa, but wasn't really coming to separate all Avodahs from each other and give each one its own separate, you know, identity. Who says? Dilma, perhaps, you can say, Ad Kan Lekam Rabbi Yosef Hasam. Perhaps it's only over there by Shabbos that Rabbi Yosef says Havara is merely Lav Yotzesa, was singled out in order to give it its own status, to downgrade it to a lav, but not to separate the malachas from each other, the nafka lechilik malachas, because in reality, Rabbi Yossi himself already learned this idea of dividing the malachas from a different pasuk. He has another source for that. Me'achas mehena, a pasuk which reads like this. Nevesh ki sechtam b'shgogam kol mitzvah Hashem ha'shalit yasena, v'osa, he committed, me'achas from one, mehena from these. Now, it didn't have to say it like that. It could have said, achas heina, or why the mei achas mei heina, right? The Sani Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi himself presents this drasha. That from this lashon, mei achas mei heina, we learn many things, one of which is chiluk malach, that its malach is dealt with separately, with its own ramification, with its own consequence, its own chatos. The Sani Rabbi Yossi, but also mei achas mei heina. What is learned from this? Four things. Pa'amim shechayav, achas al kulam. Pa'amim shechayav, al kol achas v'achas. At times, one can do many melachis on Shabbos and only be liable to one chatos. That's, for instance, where he forgot that it was Shabbos. So the forgetfulness is really related to one concept, Shabbos. So although that triggered many melachis, but the chatos is on the forgetfulness, which is the forgetfulness, the forgetting on about Shabbos. So it's only one chatos. Pa'amim shechayev kalachas va'achas. In a different situation, he'll be chayev one chatos per malacha. He knew it was Shabbos. He didn't realize this is a malacha, and he did it. He didn't realize that was a malacha, and he did it. Each one triggers its own chatos. So you can have it sometimes bundled in one carbon, sometimes separated. Vam Rabbi Yenison, what is this based on? My tamid Rabbi Yisi, tachsiv. Based on the pasuk that we just mentioned, va'asa me'achas mehina. So me'achas means achas me'achas. At times, he's liable, even if he did just a portion, a significant portion of a larger malacha. We'll see in a minute. Mehina means Heina, Mehena. Sometimes it's Mehena, and it's also Chayiv. We'll see in a minute what this means. Oh, here. Achas She'ena, Vehena She'achas. Likewise, we learn that one thing can turn into many. Seemingly a single act can turn into many liabilities. Vehena She'achas. On the other hand, you can do many, which are really only going to trigger one carbon. We already have a clue what this means, right? Right? Let's see. The Gemara will elaborate. Let's first go back to achas me'achas. What is that? Achas means he wrote the word shimon. All right, a full word. Me'achas tells us even shem shimon. That even if he only wrote the letters shem, right? Hobi chayv. Right? He intended on writing Shimon, only wrote the first two letters, Shin Mem. He's chai because it constitutes a full word. And that's what's learned from the Pasuk, Me'achas. Even if, at the end of the day, he only got the part of what he intended on doing, but since what he did is a full word, he's chai. Shem Shimon. Then we have Mehena. What is that? Some of which? Some of these. Hena means the primary work, the primary act, primary melach, avos. Right? Then mehina means tailados, derivatives. As we learned in Masechet Shabbos, there are primary melachos and there are derivatives. Now, let's move on to the next part, which really pertains to us. We have achas shehi eina and hena shehi achas. So what does that mean? Achas shehi eina means like this. He really did many, many things. Right? And therefore, he's chayiv many chatois. Zoda in Shabbos, v'shigoyis melachos. He knew, he was aware that today is Shabbos. But he did many melachos, not realizing that each one individually is a melacha. So it's achas she'ena. It's connected to one entity, it's Shabbos. But it triggers many liabilities because each one is dealt with separately. Now you have hena she'achas. At times there could be many, many acts which only trigger one chiyuv. For instance, shigigas Shabbos. He forgot that today is Shabbos. So his Shagaga pertains to the entity of Shabbos. It's one Shagaga, even though Vizad Melachis, and he did many Melachis deliberately. Meaning he knew that he's a Melachis. He didn't realize that it was Shabbos. So here he's only Chayiv one because the Shagaga is a single forgetfulness, which is about the concept of Shabbos, which is about the fact that today was Shabbos. So Rashi explains that, you know, how these drushes work and how they're all learned out from you know, these words, Me'achas, Mehena. It didn't have to say me'achas, it didn't have to say mehena, it didn't have to say perhaps me'achas at all, it could have just said v'asa mehena, it could have said v'asa achas, right? So basically, we have four drashas, and the end result is that in terms of melachas of Shabbos, how many chatois does one bring for doing many melachas? Depends. Depends what the essence of his forgetfulness was, what the shgaga was directed at. Was it directed at a single entity, which is the day of Shabbos? He forgot that today is Shabbos. It's only one chatas. But if the shkaga pertains to the individual malachis, it triggers individual liabilities. So even Rabbi Yossi agrees to this concept based on the other pasuk, based on Me'achas Mehin, Aval Hocha. However, over here by Avodah Zarah, the Lenavka Lechiluk Malachis, Meduch Tachriti, we have no other source to separate the malachas of him, means the acts of worship, the acts of Avodah Zarah. We have another source for this division. So all agree. The Kuli Alma, Shtachavod L'chalak Yotza. So perhaps all would agree. The reason why the Torah singles out bowing in a separate pasuk is to tell you that each one is dealt with separately. So even if he does many malachas within one lapse of forgetfulness and one halem, it's chayev. He didn't realize that this and this and this, all these are problems, and he did them all together. Everybody would agree that they're dealt with separately, despite the fact that they're rooted in the same pasuk of don't worship idols. Okay, so basically, when Rabbi Zakkai presented that brisa, that when one does a series of Avodah Zarah acts in one helim, he's only chayiv one. According to this, no, there is nobody that we know of that would agree with that. Because each malacha, each avodah is dealt with separately. Here comes another kasha on Rabbi Abba, who try to explain and elaborate on the brayse of Rabbi Zakkai that it's only one chatas for all. Here comes another kasha, because suppose we say that according to Rabbi Yossi by Avodah Zarah, we don't really have a source for the to separate the melachos, because the Shtachavo is coming to tell you that it's only a lav. What do you mean? Chiluk melachos. You see, that pasuk that we just quoted, me'achas mehena, isn't specific to Shabbos. You see, it's a general directive regarding chatas liabilities, right? The pasuk says, nefesh ki sechta, v'shkogam mikoy mitzvah Hashem, ashalot yasana, v'achasam achas mehena, pertains to any severe violation, including Avodah Zarah. And if that's the case, if so, we can apply the same formula that we applied to Shabbos, that each malach is dealt with separately, we can apply it to Avodah Zarah as well. As follows, right? And the whole series of derivatives, of drashes, of we learned from that phrase, Machas Mehina, can be applied, can be sort of tweaked and applied to Avodah Zarah as well. How? Because like this, it says me'achas, right? So achas means zvicha. Person does a full shrita, right? Both simanim, right? The esophagus and the womb, everything. That's zvicha. Even part of it, a partial zvicha, me'achas, means he only did simanecha. He did shechted only one siman, either the kana, the veshes, right? Either the esophagus, or, right? That's also considered avodah zarah. Me'achas. The next pasuk, me'hena, again. Hena means the avais, the primary forms of serving the idol. Zivuach, kitur, nisal, shtachavach, shtachavaya. And mehena means, an offshoot. Teilades, a derivative. Something which constitutes idol worship. It's not, one of the foremost, one of the most recognized, one of the primary forms of serving. Shavar makalafaneo. Right? So instead of actually, beheading the animal, which is shchita, he took a stick and he broke it. Into two in front of the Avodah Zarah. So it's like Zvicha, where he sort of takes apart the animal, right? He breaks the back, the mafrekas, the bone on top, the back of the... Basically, it's a similar act. It's not exactly, but it's like a telada. And let's continue on. Achas shehi eino. Right? He committed one avera, which triggers many chatois. What is that? Zoda and avodas kechavim v'shigas avodas. He knew what he was doing in terms of avodas zarah. It's amazing, but he didn't realize that this avodah is aser. This avodah is aser. So, in this case, the shgaga pertains to the individual acts, in which case he gets separate chiyuv chatos per act. And then you have heina shi achas. He did many, which really are packaged into one, which only trigger one liability. Like we said before, shigas avodas kechavim. So he totally forgot about the concept of Avodah Zarah, but he knew that these are considered acts of worship, in which case, since the Shkoga pertains to the concept of Avodah Zarah, it's only one Shkoga that covers the entire thing and one Chatas. Okay, in a minute we're going to go into the practical application of this idea. What does that mean? Shigas avodah zarah v'zodan avodes, which is going to run us into complications. But in any case, perhaps all would agree that when it comes to pertaining to avodah zarah, just like by Shabbos we have me'achas mehena to separate the melachos, here we separate the avodes into separate chatois. Now, it's not so simple, says the Gemara, because you're trying to apply this pasuk avodah zarah. And you're applying it to a case of the pasuk of Heina Shei Achas, Shigas Avodes Kechavim, Vezodin Avodes. What does that mean? Hai Shigas Avodes Kechavim, Hechetam. What do you mean he had a shgaga, unawareness regarding Avodes Zorah? Ikas Avodes HaKnesses Ha'u. It's like we had yesterday. He's sitting in a base Avodes Kechavim in a church, and he's perceiving it as a synagogue. He didn't realize that it's a Ikas Avodes HaKnesses. He thinks it's a shul, Vishtachavala, and he bowed to it. That's not even considered Shigigas Avodah Zarah. It's a non-starter. It's not an act of loyalty to Avodah Zarah at all. Harei Libo Shemayim, he's thinking about Hashem. In his mind, is a shul. So that's not the case. That can't be a shkoga of Avodah Zarah. It's not even an act of Avodah Zarah. Elod, a shkoga means he did an act which constitutes Avodah Zarah. He didn't realize. He wasn't aware. He was in a fog, right? Here, it's not a masa of Avodah Zarah. If his mind is to Hashem, and his heart is to Hashem. Elod, the chazan dar, the v'sogad, like we had yesterday, the king was passing through town, and they erected these statues with the king's image. Chazan dart, he saw this statue, so good, and he bowed to it. Again, if by doing so he intended on submitting himself to that, you know, divinity, to that dominion, amazing to it. Then it's a deliberate act of desire. It's not a shame. If he didn't have that in mind, he figured it was just, you know, to honor the king, like Lumo. It's not an act of a desire at all. Elamav Mira. Another option would be he served an idol. But it was out of love, out of affection, out of fear. Like we had yesterday, it wasn't really a genuine, right? So perhaps that Yiddish Goga was speaking about, thinking that it's okay, right? He thought it was fine. They allowed to do that. That works according to Abayu, who says that technically that also constitutes an act of Avodah Zarah. So you can have an act of Avodah Zarah, which was B'shogeg, and he found an example. El Rava Dar Potter, Michael Amir, according to Rava, that doing this act of Avodah Zarah, Shaloi Lishma, is not defined as an act of idol worship, then it's, again, it's not even Avodah Zarah. Ela b'Imer Mutter. Another option could be that he worshipped thinking that it's okay. He didn't realize there was a Isra in the Torah. Okay, so basically, he didn't realize that there was an Isra of Avodah Zarah at all, and certainly, he didn't realize that these acts are forbidden either, because, right, one is linked to the other. If there's no Avodah Zarah, there's no act of Isra, right? So, what does the Braisa say? In this case, he brings one carbon. Okay, Tishrei, if that's the case, then you have a resolution regarding a question posed back the boy Menei Ravim Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yisrael Rav Nachman, this is Masechta Shabbos. Helem ze v'ze b'yadei mahu. So we've already established that when it comes to Melachos Shabbos, how many chatois would one bring? If he did many Melachos on Shabbos, it depends. Again, it depends what the root of his shkoga is. If it pertains to the day, forgetting today is Shabbos, then it's one chatos. If the shkoga pertains to the individual Melachos, then it's many. But let's say he forgot about both. A, that it's Shabbos, and B, which Melachos are also on Shabbos. Interesting question. So in this case, what do we focus on? We focus on the Shkoga of Shabbos, so it's only one Chatos. We focus on the Shkoga Malachis, so it's many Chatois. So that was a question posed from Rava to Rav Nachman. Boy, Rava to Rav Nachman. Helem zev zev yadei mahu. Let's say he forgot both aspects. What is the Halacha? Tifshes, according to our conclusion, that the case with Avodah Zarah only triggers one chatas. It's speaking about this very type of case. He forgot about the concept of a desire. He didn't know about the concept. He didn't realize these malachas are usher either. In which case we say it only brings one chatas. Tifshet and chayvel achas. So perhaps you can resolve, you can bring a raya to that shayla, because here we say you only bring one chatas. Holy kash, a tifshet. Okay, that's not the worst, world's biggest problem. Okay, fine. Use this as a solution to your question. Okay, says the Gemara, but hold it, one more question. How could you even think of establishing the Pasuk of Ma'achas Mehena and apply it to Avodah Zarah? It doesn't really work. It's not consistent with the Karbonis that are brought by Avodah Zarah. Because in this Pasuk, in the Parsha, which brings this Pasuk, Ksiv Mashiach Par, we have many different types of karbonis, depending who the violator is. A Kohen Gadol brings a par, Ubanasi, if he's a king, right? Sa'ir, he brings a sa'ir, a biyachad, an individual, you know, a regular citizen. Kizba, Basir, he brings either this or that. So that pertains to other types of severe violations. Vilu, but that doesn't work with Avodah Zarah, because we know Bavitz Kechavim, Tanan, we have a Mishnah, we had this yesterday. When it comes to violating Isuri Avodah Zarah, Vishavan all agree Shabbasir Kiyachad. That even the Mashiach, even the Kohen Gadol, will bring a regular goat like anybody else. So clearly this parsha, which contains this pasuk of Machas Mehina, cannot be related to Avodah Zarah, Psula Midin. That's it. That's the end of the discussion. So basically, we thought we had an alternate source for splitting the Avodah Zarahs from each other, splitting the different acts of Avodah Zarah from each other, giving each one a separate carbon from the words Machas Mehena. That didn't really pan out because that's not speaking about Avodah Zarah. So what's the bottom line? Well, it's not so clear. According to the Braisa Rav Zakkai, a person does many acts of Avodah Zarah, Shchita, Kitur, Nisach, it's only one Chatas, because it's rooted in the same love. The Gemara then proposed that it's really Machlokes Tanoim, and went sort of back and forth on that. Ke'osa Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, when he came, Amar, he had a different version of Rabbi Zakkai's presentation to Rabbi Yechon. Hachi Tana Kamei. Actually, Rabbi Zakkai is Braisa. To Rabbi Yechon was a different Braisa. As follows. Chaymer b'Shabbos. We're going to compare Shabbos to other mitzvahs. There's a stringency b'Shabbos. Mishar mitzvahs unfound in other mitzvahs. On the flip side as well, Chaymer b'Shab mitzvahs b'Shabbos. We find a chumrah by other mitzvahs not found in Shabbos. And the Braisa explains. Chaymer b'Shabbos. Shabbos has an advantage. Shabbos also shtayim be'elam echad chayv v'kalachas v'achas. On Shabbos, if one had one ha'elim, one forgetfulness, and he did one malacha, followed by another one, chayv al kolachas v'achas, he brings a separate chatos, one per malacha. Mashenka mashar mitzvahs, something which is not found by other mitzvahs, over there you only bring one chatos. On the other hand, chayv b'shar mitzvahs, there's a chomer by other mitzvahs, shebishar mitzvahs, shogag, blemiskav, and chayv. Other mitzvahs, if it's done by shogeg, without intent, right? He tried to do one thing, he ended up doing something else, he's still chayv. Echatas, mashegen b'shabbos, b'shabbos. It says melechas machshavos, it has to be with intent, with purpose. And, quote. Now, what does this brisa mean? Let's go. Amamar, let's go back and review the brisa and explain it. Chayv b'shabbos, shabbos asa b'shtayim b'chulu. On Shabbos, when one commits does two malachis, even though it was on v'helim echad, he's chayev two chatois. Hey chidami, what exactly did he do? Ilem da'avad k'tziru t'china, he did two separate malachis. He cut his wheat, he ground his wheat, two separate malachis. So even though it was with one forgetfulness, right, not realizing that both are aser. We separate them. Two separate activities, two separate experiences, two separate karbanais chatos. So that's an advantage that we find by Shabbos, unfound in other areas. Really? The Kavos saw. So in a corresponding situation, let's explore. Gabashar mitzvahs. What's a similar example by other mitzvahs, by other avayos? Consumption-related isurim. Not allowed to eat forbidden fats, nor blood. So let's say he did them both together. The ochel, chelav adam. He ate chelev, he ate dam, not realizing that they're aser. It's no different than Shabbos. Hachatati mechayev, hachatati mechayev. Whether it's Shabbos, you get two isurim. Whether it's chelev and dam, you get two isurim and two chatois. There's no difference there. Elo gabishar mitzvahs and chayev alachas. Okay, so let's find an example that by other avirus, it only triggers one chatos. Hechadami, for instance, the achal chelev and chelev. He ate one kazais of chelev, followed by another one. So then he's only chayev one chatos. Well, of course. And the same thing would happen by Shabbos, by the way. The Kavasah Gabbos Shabbos, the Avak Tziru Tziru, he did the same halacha twice. He only gets one chadas. Ha chadam achayev, ha chadam achayev. Whether it's Shabbos, whether it's chaylev, it's only one chayev. So there's no difference. So we're sort of stumped in terms of what the Braisa had in mind. That's why. That explains why Rabbi Yechon responded with sort of a rejection. Poik, Tani Lebro, go teach it outside. It's unacceptable. It doesn't really work. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean? Let's try to reconcile the brisa as follows. My kushi, what's the problem? Let's go back to the original suggestion. The brisa is highlighting a case where he did two separate malachas on Shabbos, ktsira followed by tchina. Since they're separate malachas, two separate karbonis, mashenka mishar mitzvahs, as opposed to other mitzvahs, is a reference to a very specific contrast, a very specific mitzvah. Not all mitzvahs, not consumption related mitzvahs. There you're right. Perhaps it's a reference to Avodah Zarah, like Rabbi Ami said. Although he did many act of worship, zibayach, v'kiter, v'nisach, be'elam echad, since it was one in one sitting and one lapse of forgetfulness, ein echayv alachas, only one chiyuv. As we explained before, because it's one love and there's no reason to separate. No, it's impossible. The brisa is referring to a desert. Tony Sefer. Because look at the second part of the brisa. You know, first part of the brisa, okay, it could work. You're right. Two melachas on Shabbos, two separate karbonis. But with the Zohar, it's one carbon. But the Tani Sefer, look at the second part of the Brisa, where the Brisa sort of contrasts it in the reverse. Chaymer b'sham mitzvahs, there's an advantage by other mitzvahs, unfound on Shabbos. Which is, shabbosham mitzvahs, by those other mitzvahs, we're not sure what those other mitzvahs are yet, but if we're saying that the Brisa is discussing with the Zohar, we're assuming it's with the Zohar as well. Shogeb le'miskav and chayev. He did a shkog without intention, he's chayev. But with the Zohar, we're assuming. It's not really going to work. Let's see. Give me an example of a shogi without kavana by avodah zarah. And again, we're going to go through the same options that we had before. We grew up with some, you know, scenario that would fit this bill. Perhaps I'm speaking that a person is standing in a church and he's thinking that it's a shul. That's not called anything. He's connected to Hashem. El the chazan d'art of a sogadle, he bowed to the statue. Again, I kibla lebeliha, mezidu. If he did it intentionally, then he knows what he's doing. It's a mezidu. If he had no intention of really serving it, love klumu, it's nothing. El mava miyuru. Oh, perhaps he's speaking that he worshipped, me'avo miyuru. That's called ishgogo. Belay miskavim, he's not really trying to. Well, again, haichla bayid amar chayav. That works according to Abayu, says he's liable. El rava lava patamik lame, because the rava, it's nothing. So again, he hasn't done anything. No, the only option left is Ayman Mutter. In his mind, there's no concept of a desire in the Torah. He never learned it. So, it's technically called Ishgaga, but the Brisa calls it Lay Miskaven because since he has no recollection at all, Rashi says, Kiva de Lay Husker Lay Me Oilam, Ain Miskaven Karele. It's more than just a Shogeg. And it's called Shalei Miskaven. Sounds like he never knew. The others learned, Yad Rama learns, that he didn't realize this is even an Avodah Zarah. Then it turns out that it's an Avodah Zarah. So that's called Shalei Miskaven. Okay, so we found a case where by Avodah Zarah, he's still chayev, even though Shalei Miskaven, as opposed to Shabbos, Mashekim is Shabbos, the Potter Lekamer, as opposed by Shabbos, in a similar fashion, of Einim Miskaven, he's completely exempt. And what does that mean? Because Ad Kan Lo Boy Mine Rabban Rav Nachman. That's a startling statement to say that in a similar fashion, if a person does Melach on Shabbos, with this Eimer Mutter concept, thinking that it's okay, never having learned that it's Asr, he's going to be Potter, really? Ad kan leboy minei Rav and Rav Nachman helam ze v'ze. It's true. Rav had Esh Rav Nachman. We had this before, right? Let's say he did a malach on Shabbos, not realizing that it's A, that it's Shabbos, and B, not even knowing this is a malach. Nobody says he's exempt. I mean, it's a question of numbers. How many is he chayev? Do we look at it as one violation because of Shabbos? Or do you look at it as many violations because of the malachas that he did? So the question is it one, is it many? But he's certainly liable to some things. He has to do some sort of kapara, some sort of karban. Ela iluch yiv echada, the question is chayv one, iluch yiv tatu, or many, right? Potter l'gam l'lech l'lon da'omer. There's nobody that suggests that he's potter. You're telling me that if it's any miskaven, right? He's over mutter, not realizing that there's Shabbos, that there's malachas. He's totally potter, really? So basically, this equation is not going to work. Again, the Brisa had two parts. Shabbos had an advantage over X, and X, advantage over Shabbos. We suggested the ratio, the first part of the Brisa, Shabbos has an advantage over X. X is what? With the Zohar. By Shabbos, there are chilik malachis. Many malachis trigger separate chatois, but with the zara, it's all lumped into one. The second part of the brisa, X has an advantage over Shabbos, we're assuming, right? On the same track, that it's going, it's a reference to avodah zarah. Avodah zarah b'lev miskaven is chayav, but Shabbos is potter. It doesn't work. My kushya, what's the problem? What's the kash? Let me give you a solution. True, in the ratio, X is avodah zarah, but in the sefer, X is not avodah zarah. We're not trying to contrast avodah zarah to Shabbos in the second part of the brisa. That's not going to work. We're going to find another matchup. Dilma, perhaps, lo'ilo emloch reisha. True, the first part of the brisa is a matchup between Bavitz Kechavim versus Shabbos. That works. The sefer b'sham mitzvahs. The sefer, part B of the brisa, is a matchup between Shabbos and other isurim, like consumption isurim. Is to eat chalev and dam. Okay, so let's explore that option. So the brisa says, well, by those other isurim, shagag b'loy miskaven is chayev, and Shabbos is potter. So what does this mean? V'shagag b'loy miskaven means the kosava roik u'baloy. A simple shagag means he knows that it's chalev, forgot that it's aser, and he ate it. Or forgot that it's chalev, right? Either way. Shogeg b'lo miskaven is a notch deeper, a deeper level of non-awareness, right? What does that mean? The kasava roiku b'lo. He sees a piece of fat, forbidden fat. He thinks it's just saliva. Saliva you don't eat, you swallow. Right? So when he goes and he consumes that forbidden fat slash saliva, he's not even trying to do an act of eating. There's no ma'isa achila. His kavana was not to eat. Right? So it's another layer of fogginess, of forgetfulness. He's not even trying to do the act of eating. He's still going to be chayev. Because when a person consumes something, he has benefit, he has anoy, he has pleasure. And Rashi says that sort of upgrades it. That is substitutes for awareness. When you enjoy something, it's a very impactful experience. So even though he didn't have kavana, the fact is, by circumstance, it is considered his act. Okay? Mashengim Shabbos, as opposed to a similar case by Shabbos, if you should engage in a melacha without any awareness. For instance, Shemeskaven Lagbias Atalish. He sees something on the floor. He sees a tomato on the floor. Okay, let me have it for lunch. Picks it up, not realizing that it's still connected to the ground. In his mind, it was Talish, had been off the ground, disconnected. It turns out that he's chopped off something off the ground. Potter, in this case, he's Potter. Shagi means, I know that I'm about to do what I'm about to do, but he didn't realize that halachically it's a problem, or that today is Shabbos, but if he intended on doing one act, picking up a loose tomato, it turns out to be connected to, and he ripped it off the ground, that's called misasik. That's called shalei miskaven, that's potter. But Rav Nachman, Rav Shmuel, Damor tells us that by Shabbos he's potter, but by eating related violations, he's chayiv regardless of misasik, even though he's engaged in one activity and he ends up doing something else. When it comes to eating-related violations, b'chalavim, and likewise, marital relations with the woman, b'arayis. Again, in both these cases, he's liable, despite it being einu miskaven shchayev, because of the svar we said before, shekein nene, because it's personal enjoyment. As opposed to a misasek b'shabbos. He's potter. Trying to pick up a loose banana. And then inadvertently, he pulled it off the tree. He's potter because melechas machsheves asra teira. The Torah, in describing the melechas there, speaks about melechas machsheves and the Mishkan with intent, with purpose, with focus, with awareness. Okay, so that's a good interpretation to the Braisa. Right? So again, the Braisa begins with an advantage to Shabbos over Avodah Zarah, concludes with an advantage to Chalavim Barayis over Shabbos. Now Rabbi Yochanan wasn't really happy with this braisa. Remember, he said, "Oh, go teach it outside the Beis Medrash." Why couldn't he resolve the braisa the way we did? The answer is because there's a certain element of inconsistency here, because part A of the braisa refers to Avodah Zarah, and part B, using the same term, Shah Mitzvah, is a reference not to Avodah Zarah, but to other Averis. So Rabbi Yochanan didn't really go for that. Rabbi Yochanan Tamei, the Loi Mukim Masnis Reisha B'chataima V'seva B'chataima. Rabbi Yochanan, who did not follow this reasoning, because he's going to Shittasa, according to his approach to Braises, to Mishnahs, and typically he doesn't hold of doing this, taking one Braise, one Mishnah, and splitting hairs, that the first part is going on one lane, the other part is going on a different lane, as we find in a Mishnah in Maseches Bava Metzia. Likewise, Rabbi Yochanan did not go for that type of approach. Rabbi Yochanan, we have a Mishnah there which is a bit complicated and a bit difficult to resolve in terms of the first part of the Mishnah and second part of the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yochanan said, "Look, here's my standing offer. Don't Rabbi Yochanan mandem matargam li chavis aliba de chatan, whoever can successfully present to me a plausible explanation of the Mishnah there, and have it go consistently with the same shita, rather than take it and split it apart and say the first part of the Mishnah is going like one shita and second part, no, I don't like that. It's all the same, has to be the same shita. I'll be so impressed, I'm willing to serve this person like a student, like a slave. Mivulna mani basre, I'll take his clothing and walk behind him and serve him all the way up to the, take it all the way to the Lebei Masusa, deliver it to the Beis HaMerchetz, like a, like a Talmud serving his Rebbe, etc." So basically that was his approach. It's got to be, the whole Mishnah's got to be on the same track, and that's why he didn't really accept this interpretation, and he sort of rejected the Braisa. Okay, we started with one version of Reb Zakkai presenting to Rabbi Yochanan a Braisa that all the acts done to Avodah Zarah in one hailing, one forgetfulness, is only going to trigger one Chatas because it's based on one Lav. The Gemara went back and forth on that. Perhaps you could be Mechalak between the Chatois, just like we do on Shabbos. And we had another version of the same Braisa presented to Rabbi Yochanan regarding another Braisa, finding an advantage to Shabbos over other mitzvahs over Shabbos. We had one pshat, which didn't really work, and then we came up with another pshat and explained what Rabbi Yochanan preferred to avoid this pshat. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.